Third hour is a busy hour. Welcome back, or good morning, or good afternoon, wherever you are. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. All right, so coming up at 40 past, I've got a conversation with the head basketball coach at Virginia Tech, Mike Young. Meantime, your phone number is toll-free, you know this, in the U.S. and Canada. And we start this hour by having a conversation with a forward for Gonzaga. He is a Julius Erving Award finalist. 24 points, 5 rebounds in Saturday's win over Loyola Marymount. Averaging 20 points, 5 boards, and 2 assists per game this season, Gonzaga's won 21 straight. 21 straight double-digit wins, most since Bill Walton and UCLA did it back in 71-72. They are 15-0 in conference, 24-0 overall, number one in both polls, and their next game will be in the WCC semifinals. That is March 8th. Corey Kispert is my guest. Corey, it's great to have you on the show. How are you?
Good, Jim. Nice to hear from you, man.
Nice to talk to you. I appreciate it. All right, so you're coming off a big performance on senior night that wrapped up your first undefeated regular season in program history. Like, Corey, I understand there's still a lot of work to be done, but how is life for you right about now, and how would you describe the mood around the program?
Life is good, and the mood is even better. Coach Few has been telling us over the last week that it's really hard to do something in this program that hasn't been done before. And you kind of look around at the teams that have been here and done that, and no one's gone defeated through the regular season. So kind of checking that off the list is really good for the team, and kind of some much-needed time off before our tournament in Vegas.
I'm going to ask you about that in 1 second, but let me go back. You had 6 threes as part of your 24 points in that win. Obviously, that was not a normal senior night, but what kind of emotions were you feeling before, during, and after the game?
Yeah, you're right. It wasn't normal, and there's not that big rush of, you know, emotions or anything like that from the fans, especially here in Spokane. But I'm just super thankful to have played here and to have grown up in Spokane and to really become the man that I am today because of the city here and the community. And so I'm just so thankful to have Gonzaga on my chest and wear it proudly.
Corey Kispert is my guest. So what about that? For instance, you played your high school ball at King's High School outside of Seattle. So when you were being recruited, what was it about Gonzaga that made you feel like that was the right place?
It was the culture, man. As soon as I stepped off the plane for my visit, I knew this was the place that I wanted to be. I was kind of accepted as family as soon as I stepped foot through the door. And that's part of the special part about this place is that, you know, no matter where you are or who you are or where you come from or the kind of person you are, your family, no matter what. And it felt a lot like my community back home, and it was something I was super drawn to right off the bat.
Corey Kispert is joining us. And then in your first couple of seasons, there were guys like Jonathan Williams, Brandon Clark, who could carry a lot of the scoring load. But the summer before your junior year, you put in a ton of work, including some time with Joe Harris of the Nets. What did you take away from that time with him?
Yeah, good memory, good research. Yeah, Joe's been great. He and I have kind of texted on and off throughout the last couple of years, just kind of checking in. And I took mostly from him is just the mentality and his approach to the game. Especially, he talked to me about his time in college and his career he had at Virginia and the way he approached every single game. And it just really something I resonated with. And I kind of was in the back seat as far as a role player goes my first 2 years. And that was kind of my jump to more or less the driver's seat. So learning from him and hearing about how he, you know, attacked each and every day and played the game with such passion, that really inspired me and kind of was a big, big key to my transition and my jumps over these last 2 years.
Corey Kispert joining us, and it's been a big jump. You know, I would argue that going unbeaten in the regular season is an amazing accomplishment no matter what, but I'd also argue that it's even more impressive this year when you consider you're doing it in the middle of a pandemic. From the outside looking at you guys, it seems like you have really approached this season, I mean, top to bottom, with complete professionalism. What's it been like to play in a pandemic, and how have you personally gone about approaching it?
Yeah, that's exactly the word I've used, is professionalism. Every gym is kind of low energy and dull. It snows a lot here in Spokane, so kind of waking up and looking out your window, and it's gray and it's cold. It'd be tough to kind of have that energy, you know, coming into the gym every single day. But you know, we've done it with a smile on our face, you know, all 24 games. So I'm really proud of the effort that we've put forward so far, and thankfully, the best basketball and the most exciting basketball is yet to come.
You know, when you look at it, Corey, like fans watching the game, it seems to me, focus on the result, you know, make or miss, and maybe on the form when the ball leaves the shooter's hand. How much, though, are you looking at things like your footwork, your body control, manipulating screens, other than the obvious things?
I mean, I worked on that a ton. That's, like you said, that's the stuff that doesn't really get noticed. But the reason why good shooters, you know, find themselves so open and can knock down shots is because of the footwork and because of body control and manipulating screens and all that stuff. So, you know, watching films of you know, guys like Joe or Klay Thompson have really been impactful for me on how to become a better shooter and tighten things up. I'm just trying to make my shot as much or as efficient as possible, and I worked on that a ton over the summer. And, yeah, kind of just studying guys like that who do it at the highest level is really translated into my game really well.
Now, Corey, a few years back, I was at one of the regional games, and I was seated actually not too far from John Stockton, who looks like $1 million still yet. I mean, like, that dude looks like he could actually probably still play, give you 15 good minutes a game. Has he come around very often? Have you spent any time with him at all?
Oh, John's been huge. John has been huge for us. And the thing is he just kind of – he's still a basketball junkie. So he just sits at home and he watches a ton of games. You know, he loves his Jazz and he loves his eggs. So he watches all of our games. And, you know, about one or two times a year I'll get a phone call from John and he'll kind of give me, you know, three or four little nuggets that he's been seeing. And, you know, obviously he's a Hall of Famer and one of the best point guards of all time. So I'm going to listen whenever he – you know, his name pops up on my phone. And – anything from, you know, kind of working out with him and picking his brain just to a phone call. John's been nothing but supportive for us in the program, and I'm super thankful for his input in my game especially.
No doubt. Corey Kispert joining me for a few more moments. You know, I'm curious, you're hitting better than 46% from three this year. When you're in that zone, like when you're knocking down shots and you're clicking, does it feel like the basket is bigger than normal, or does it feel like any other game? And then secondarily, if you're in a zone, can you put yourself in the zone, or do you just have to hope that it happens?
That's a great question. Yes, the basket does feel bigger. You kind of feel like you're shooting at a hula hoop a little bit. And you know, as you get closer and closer to getting in that zone, you know, that basket starts to get wide, and you feel super confident. I feel like I can make anything inside of half court, and you know, that's what the great players do, is they are able to put themselves in the zone. You know, whether that's, you know, from making one shot or, you know, getting one rebound or diving on the floor one time, little things like that can kind of trigger them and put them in the zone. And that's something that I've been working on a ton, is just trying to figure out how to get there faster than normal or faster than I'm used to.
That's what I meant. All right, so how do you approach what's left of the season? Like, the thing about that tournament format is that's what makes it so exciting, right? It's sudden death. Anybody can beat anybody on any given night. We know this. So when you're thinking about what's ahead of you, when you're thinking about the opportunity, a possible trip to the Final Four, maybe winning it all, is that what you're thinking about, or do you make sure that that's not the thing you're thinking about and focus on something else, if that makes sense?
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. And, you know, every game is essentially, you know, a national championship. And that sounds about as corny as it gets, but you don't get to play a second one if you don't win your first. And so there's no sense in really looking ahead. And we've had all, you know, all season to have people, you know, write about us, talk about how great we've been or whatever. But when it comes down to it, we have to win the next game in order to move on. And, you know, and then also the most important thing for us is staying healthy and being healthy. You know, this is kind of coming down to crunch time, where if we lose a player or two because of, you know, protocols, that could be huge for our team and huge, and it could be detrimental for our team moving forward. So we got to make sure we stay healthy, and we're knocking on wood for that and doing everything we can to make sure we get all, you know, 15 guys to Indianapolis.
You know, Corey, one last thought before I let you go. When I'm thinking about the team also, and what I'm watching from the outside, the ball moves so well. And the way this team plays on the floor, you can sense there's a real chemistry in terms of this club. Like, you guys clearly like each other and go hard for each other. You made the point, quote, it's like a melting pot. That's why I love it so much. I grew up playing with a lot of people who look like me, were from the same background as me. From here, there are different cultures, backgrounds, but no matter where you're from, it always works. It's like, how would you describe that relationship and that bond you have with your teammates? And then how does that show up on the floor?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason why this place is so special. I mean, it's a small town in Eastern Washington that, you know, not a lot of people have heard of or can even, you know, pronounce correctly. And you get guys from Africa, and you get guys from Europe and Asia, South America. I mean, across the globe, people come in here to hoop and to play basketball. And kind of that's kind of the common language that gets spoken around here. And, you know, no matter who you are or where you're from, it just works. And, you know, I'm so thankful to kind of be at the head of that now. And help guys kind of feel at home, even if they're thousands and thousands of miles away. And it's just been such a big part of my growth and maturity is getting to know people from different parts of the country and different parts of the world who, you know, don't look exactly like me or don't speak the same language. It's been great for my personal development too.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a great team, but it's a great program, and the culture is absolutely amazing. What Mark Few has built there is never anything less than astonishing to me, and it's because of guys like you. Corey Kispert, my guest. Corey, great to have you on. Good luck with it. We'll be watching, and really nice to visit with you today. Thanks so much.
Well, thanks, Jim. Thank you for your time.
Really appreciate it. Thank you for your time. It's an amazing program. I mean, when you look at these guys, they are so well-rounded. And they've got so many guys that can score the ball, and they've got such tremendous depth, but completely unselfish, totally humble, and they understand what's in front of them. Again, nobody has run the table and won a national championship in the midst of an undefeated season since Indiana did it back in 75-76. That's how hard that is to do. And they've got the opportunity. They are number one in both polls, and their next game is March 8th, WCC semifinals. All right, so I've got one open segment, and then I've got an interview in the last segment of the program, so that means you should call me right now. 1-800-636-8686. And this says, nah, I'm not going to read that one. But I will solicit your phone calls. Also, the old whip around. Today is March 1st, which means we're pretty much on the anniversary of the pandemic. Like, I can't mark exactly when it started, but March 1st is significant. And I will tell you why that is a little bit later on. Maybe even next segment. The old jungle whip around. And you've got your telephone number. Let me get a short break in. And we will come back with more. Also, coming up later on this hour, still yet, the head basketball coach at Virginia Tech, Mike Young. Got a Jim Rome podcast pushed out on Wednesday, like every single Wednesday. This week's guest, a guy with 5 NBA rings and a gaucho legend, Brian Shaw. Brian Shaw joins me for the podcast, a long-form conversation, and we will have that on Wednesday. SoCal Jeff tweets, will you ask Gonzaga kid if his school will ever go D1 or if he enjoys playing NAIA level competition? Thanks. Typical. Typical rap against them because of the conference they play in. Hey, Jeff, do me a favor. Instead of focusing on who they play in conference, look at the team. Look at the team. Look at who they start. Look at who they bring off the bench. And look at the way they D up. And then tell me what you think about these guys. They play out of conference too. The likes of Kansas, West Virginia, Iowa, Auburn, Virginia. They're not hiding. And believe me, nobody knows better than Mark Few that fair or not, you're measured by how you do in the tournament. They look awesome. And they absolutely are the team to beat. And if anybody can run that table and finish an undefeated season, it's this group. All right. We'll break, and then we will come back. Phone lines are open. And that last segment again, we are talking Virginia Tech basketball with Mike Young.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop on by. Taylor Davis tweets to me, guys like Corey Kispert are the reason that Mark Few's teams get so much respect year in and year out. That's a dude I would send my kid to play for. For sure. For sure, this whole rap that, I mean, yeah, it's not, their conference is not the meat grinder that some other conferences are, but that doesn't mean that they're not a great team. It doesn't mean that's not an amazing program. I'm awed by what this guy built right where he is. Yes, when he took over, they had had some success, but kind of like Cinderella success. he built that thing into a year-in, year-out monster. Like, all of his dreams, he realized he could achieve right where he was. So it used to be one of those deals where, like, yeah, Mark Few, that phone's going to ring, and it's going to be a matter of time before he leaves. Not when, or not if, but when. There's no way you keep a guy that motivated, that ambitious, and that good at his job in a market like that or in a conference like that. And every year he'd come on the show, and every year I would ask him, and then you could see where he was kind of getting weary of the question. And then I got weary of asking the question because he doesn't have to go anywhere to achieve what he wants to achieve. He can do everything he wants to do right where he is. He can recruit internationally. He could have a perennial top 10 team and a team that can win a national championship right there. He doesn't need to leave to get that. It hasn't happened yet, but he doesn't need to leave to get it. So I don't know why anybody would say anything critical or negative of him in that regard. Like, yeah, well, what about their conference? What about it? I mean, that's the conference they play in. Yeah, well, maybe the reason they haven't won it all is because it doesn't properly prepare them. See, that's bullcrap too. You know why he hasn't won it all yet? Because it's really hard to win it all. Not many have. And they had a really good look at it last year before the NCAA tournament got shut down. And they've got a really good look at it this year. And I'm sure that's why when Corey Kispert talks about the thing for us right now, we're doing everything we can to stay healthy. The last thing you want is to have that opportunity ripped from you 2 years in a row. Amazing coach, amazing team, amazing program. And yes, I think they are good enough to run the table and win it all. I'm looking for an ATP now because I've got a guest coming up next segment. Meantime, let's get a phone call up here. We go to Seattle. Rick, good to have you on, Rick. How are you?
What's up, Romy? What's happening, bro?
What's up?
It's you, man. I haven't called your show since November because I had a little COVID, a little minor hit of that.
Well, I'm glad you're doing better, bro. Glad you're doing better. Nice to have you. What's going on?
What's going on? Man, everything is going on, including what I want to talk about here is Drew Brees doing that little workout. That was a just-in-case workout.
Just in case what? He wants to play?
Just in case he decides not to retire workout.
Right. Hey, you know, but I
he
hope.
He had to do that because LaToya Cantrell, the mayor, was up here on Saturday with her beautiful, that was a cool umbrella she had. It was a Saints umbrella, and she was playing Level Up by Sierra. I was like, dang, she was really telling Russell that, you know, we welcome you with open arms to come to New Orleans.
All right, so then, thanks, Rick. Thank you very much. He said that was a just-in-case workout. Maybe. I hope so. I'm saying I'm not exactly sure what that was, but I'm always kind of skeptical when a guy like that drops a video like that and the hype team is going as hard as they are. I don't know that that was what that appeared. We've all been led to believe that he already had that network job set up. This was his final year. At the end of that game against the Bucks, he was acting like somebody who had played his last game. His family's on the field. He had that moment with Tom Brady. They looked like a couple of gladiators that knew that was the last time they'd see each other on the field. I don't know. You know, maybe Drew Brees sees what Tom Brady does. And maybe he has some time to get away from it. Maybe his body starts to feel better because he was wrecked physically. Maybe he starts to kind of recover. Maybe he starts to feel better. Maybe decides, maybe this is not what I want to do. Presumably, that broadcast job will always be there for me. Maybe I do want to play. So maybe he's hitting his workouts hard. Or maybe that's not what that appeared at all. Maybe what that was some viral campaign. Maybe that was him kind of yanking our chain. Like I said, if he's still training and he has not made the announcement that he's going to retire and he plans on playing, great. I would love to see a healthy Drew Brees come back and play another year. But if he's acting like he's doing it and it's just part of some elaborate Hulu promotion or some car insurance ad, that would aggravate me. In the meantime, he mentioned the mayor of New Orleans, LaToya Cantrell, courting Russ Wilson over the weekend on Twitter. Here's how this sounded from the mayor.
I've heard the rumor. yours now. And I want to make sure that you understand that the city of New Orleans is a place for you and your beautiful family. I'm LaToya Cantrell, mayor of the city of New Orleans. And I know, Mr. Wilson, that you will be a great addition to the New Orleans Saints. And more importantly, I can see us in that number winning that Super Bowl championship once again. And what else I can see? The Mrs. Ciara Wilson herself on that main stage during the historical Essence Festival. Just wanted to stop in to let you know that we not only admire you, we want you. Love you, man. Love Ciara. Love your beautiful family. The culture of the city of New Orleans awaits you.
Yeah, I'm sure Taysom Hill was thrilled to hear that. I'm sure Jameis Winston was thrilled to hear that. I'm sure Drew, who's busting his ass on that prowler sled, was pumped to hear that. Maybe he hasn't made his decision yet, but apparently the mayor of New Orleans has. Maybe Sean Payton doesn't know where he's going yet, but the mayor has or does. A pretty good quarterback room there with a few question marks. Not according to the mayor. LaToya Cantrell, we would welcome you and your lovely wife. Come on down. One problem, Mayor. There's a $40 million cap hit to Seattle if they move him. So you wonder how that plays out. My feeling with Russ is he's not happy. My feeling is I don't know if that team's going to do and say the things necessary to make him happy, but I'm pretty convinced that they're not moving him this offseason. It's just way too costly. But I could see him ultimately moving. Meantime, you've got the mayor in Seattle, Jenny Durkin. She heard the pitch from the mayor in New Orleans. At Mayor Jenny was not that happy. She tweeted in response, "I love you, Mayor, but keep your eyes off Russ Wilson. His home is Seattle. Go Hawks. And just so you know, Seattle is in the market for an NBA team. Don't make me go there." Damn, Jen.
Hey, Seattle.
Normally, mayor-on-mayor sports smack is the worst thing ever. Cheesy bets, even worse smack. That's a pretty good response, though, by Mayor Jenny. And that's her Twitter handle, Mayor Jenny. I love you, Mayor, but keep your eyes off Russ Wilson. His home is Seattle. Go Hawks. And just so you know, Seattle's in the market for an NBA team. Don't make me go there. Yeah, tomorrow, they'll be betting Starbucks and crawfish. Starbucks and Hurricanes. I'm sure. I've got an ATP that I've got to slide in here before I have an interview. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Jimmo's, is the break room vending machine free? Brent in PC, we have no vending machine. We have a gigantic plastic tower of beef. We have the occasional healthy snacks that Cindy brings in. There is no vending machine. I don't know why this keeps coming up. Jim Guy, who does the cooking at home and what is the Rome household specialty? Chef in Buffalo. All right, I'll tell you this. You know who the best cook in the family is right now? Well, me. But aside from me, I'll tell you who's closing fast. Logan Rome. Logan and his boy Paolo went online and they bought Wagyu. Because it's Logan's birthday. These two dudes, a couple of teenagers, go online. They buy Wagyu. The Wagyu comes in the mail. I fire open the box. And it's loaded up with this ice. Like when you go to grab the ice, you cut yourself on it. I was pretty happy with Logan when that happened. Either way, it comes with this certificate of authenticity. These two kids made Wagyu. They put it in a pot and they cooked it in water, Wagyu, for like 4 hours. And then they put a couple more steaks on the grill and Paolo's mother made tiramisu. So to answer the question, Shafe, Logan is probably the best cook in the house right now. And the specialty was the Wagyu. He's blown right by us. I've been trying to figure out what this kid's going to do with his life. I think he's going to go to culinary school. Maybe. The worst thing I ever did was expose this kid to Wagyu at one point. That's a different breed. I mean, it was like butter. When we come back. Now you can officially stop asking, who is the best cook in the family? What is the go-to? Charcoal or gas? Like, I think we've covered every one of those angles now. When we return, we're going to talk some Virginia Tech basketball. In the meantime, there is a window that may not happen right away, or there may be a window after the interview. If you want to call, go ahead and do it. 1-800-636-8686. Time now for a sports update. Here, did not get to my whip around. Did not get to my recap of the PGA weekend, where you had a number of guys out there on the track representing Tiger Woods in his Sunday red. And as an homage to him, Tiger was touched. He said that meant a great deal to him. We're going to talk some Virginia Tech basketball momentarily. The head coach there is Mike Young. I am efforting him. That would be next. And in the meantime, it is not too late. If you want to come through or get through, go ahead and give us a call. We talked about the quarterback carousel. And the other breaking news, in case you're joining us late, right when we came on the air this morning, there was a story that J.J. Watt himself broke. J.J. Watt on Twitter had a picture of himself and an Arizona Cardinals shirt and then said, sources, me. And then come to find out it's a two-year deal. He's signing with Arizona. So that was not on the list of teams necessarily that was being speculated about. You heard the Browns. You heard the Steelers. You heard Green Bay. The Steelers were a possibility. And yet he ends up in Arizona. So they were pretty stealth about that. They were under the radar, under the cover of night, in complete silence. They find a way to get that deal done. And I like it. I think that's good for them. I mean, I was on record, and I'm going to stand by this. The best place for J.J. Watt would have been Cleveland, America's team. They had money. They had an opportunity. They afforded him a chance to win it all. But there is a lot to like about the Arizona situation, so I see why he went there. Not all of you feel that way. We also had the video of Drew Brees pushing that sled hard and far. And remember, Drew Brees has not officially retired. And then a lot of you were more focused on not that he was doing the workout, but rather how he looked. And the fact that he all of a sudden went from not having very much lettuce at all to having nearly a full head of lettuce. And it was a different color. And my reaction to that is, why are you here to lettuce shame? Man, nothing but respect. Get it, Drew. Get it. He might hold the secret to what most guys want. So I'm not sure what he's doing with that. That did not look like the kind of workout that you do just to stay in shape in retirement. But again, I'm a little concerned that might represent something else. That may have nothing to do with football at all. I don't know. I'm still waiting to find out. But this much we do know, he is not officially retired yet. And that was what everybody was assuming throughout the entire year. And then at the end of the year, we talk Gonzaga basketball. And every time I do that, some of you idiots come in and want to talk about how they dominate NAIA ball and what's it like to do so. No, they're actually Division I, and they're the team to beat, and they're undefeated, regardless of conference. And I want to reiterate that one more time. No, they haven't won at all under Mark Few, but no, it's not because of their conference. And I've got a voicemail number for you, too. 949-385-0447. Put that in your phone. Use that because we do take your voicemails as part of the Jim Rome podcast. It pushes out every Wednesday. 949-385-0447. D-Rod in the 925 tweets, the D-listers that sang that garbage song to Bron Bron think the New Orleans mayor is a kook. I don't know, you think that the mayor might have better things to do with her time? I know that Drew Brees must think that she's got better things to do with her time. I'm sure Taysom thinks he's got better, or she has better things to do with her time. All right, as promised, we're joined right now by the head basketball coach at Virginia Tech. He is in his second season with the Hokies. He was the 2019 National Coach of the Year, a four-time Conference Coach of the Year. He was named to the Naismith Coach of the Year watch list. Virginia Tech, 9-4 this season in conference play, 15-5 overall. They are number 19 in the coaches poll, and they're at home on Wednesday against Louisville. Mike Young is my guest. Mike, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, great, thanks. Hope you're well.
Doing well. Thank you so much. So we're officially on to March. The calendar turned over. You know the conference tournament is right around the corner. Then you've got the NCAA tournament after that. So when the calendar does flip to March, Mike?
I think so, Jim. I think so. I mean, Jim, I come from a mid-major league now, and you get to this point in the year, you're thinking about the tournament. You got to win three games to advance to the greatest tournament of them all. So I don't know how to think any other way, but yeah, these regular season games do ratchet up quite a bit.
You know, Mike, I want to ask you about some of your players, but you just made the point that he came from a mid-major. You know, if I were to go back, when you and I talked a number of times when you were at Wofford, knowing that you're from the area, I knew how much this job meant to you. As you said yes to this job faster than anything in your life. Now that you're in your second season, if you could put aside the pandemic, if that's possible, how would you describe the experience, and has it been what you expected?
Everything and more. And it has. My mom is still here. I lost my dad last spring, but I saw my first college basketball game on in the same arena that we're playing in today, the Atlantic Coast Conference, everything that goes along with that. Jim, it has been phenomenal. I really like who I work for. I got a really good team. Life is good.
Mike Young is joining us. You got a real good team. A team, Mike, that was picked to finish 11th in the conference in one preseason poll. Right now, you're just a game out of first place. And again, you've done that in a year with a pandemic and a number of other challenges. How do you explain that?
Good players. We had a number of kids returning, bigger and stronger, a year older. Jim, I brought a young man with me that you saw in the 2019 NCAA tournament against Seton Hall in Kentucky, Keve Aluma, that started on that team and wanted to come here. I'm thankful that he did. He averaged, I think, 6 points and 7 rebounds a game. He's really good for us down there. But he came here and had a year to sit out, got bigger and stronger, and has just turned into a whale of a player. He'll be an all-league player. I'm not sure he's a first team, second team. He's an all-league player, and he is fantastic.
You know, Mike, I was going to ask you about Keve because he did sit out. He comes in. He's averaging 16-8 this season. So just to follow up on that, what's it like having him with you at both programs, and how much has he grown as a player and a person both?
Tremendously in both regards. He's a great person now, great family, and just a real treat to coach. His work habits and what he did in that sit-out year, Jim, was pretty remarkable. I've never had one that sat out as a red shirt or, you know, missed a year that didn't make full use of that year. He got, he just improved his game by leaps and bounds. And what we're doing with him now, what we're allowed to do with him now because of his skill set is just a lot of fun, to be quite frank.
Mike Young is joining us. We're talking Virginia Tech basketball. And then, of course, you have Wabisa Beattie, who had 5 points and 5 assists in the game against Wake Forest. I'm curious. You said, quote, "I think Wabisa is the most important person I've had in my brief period. I had recruiting. There were no guarantees he was going to stay. He didn't owe me anything. We hung in there. We went up and saw his beautiful mom, and it worked out," end quote. So what do you remember about those conversations, and what did it mean that he wanted to be a part of what you were building?
You know, he played a lot here in the 2019 season for Virginia Tech. They had gone to the Sweet 16, had a shot at the buzzer to beat Duke, if you'll recall. And now here I come from Wofford. You know, those that recruited him are no longer here. A lot of those teammates are graduating. Nikhil Alexander's going to the NBA. There's a lot of things in flux. And I'm sure he had some opportunities to get closer to home. But he is, Jim, he is the most important person that I've had here, you know, as a human being as much as a player. He's a great leader. He's a Hokie now. I mean, he is a Hokie. Loves the school and the people here, and just thankful that that it all worked out. And I've had the opportunity to coach him for 2 years.
We are talking to Mike Young. You know, Mike, to fully appreciate where you are right now, I think we have to really take one step back and look at what the way things were when you first got there. One of the things you said, quote, "I remember sitting here April 9th, 2019. I'm in the office where I was sitting at that particular moment. It was midnight. The glitter is faded. Everybody is gone. I'm here by myself. I've got no staff. We had four players." End of quote. I'm curious, that night, what types of things were going through your head in that moment?
You know, my family has gone back to Spartanburg. I'd been at one place for 30 years, and I loved it. I mean, my best friends in the world were there. You get to the ACC. You get to Virginia Tech. Holy cow. What an amazing, you know, trip this has been. And now, you know, you've got a long haul here. You've got a long rebuild to make it right. Through some luck, Jim, I was able to put together a really, really good staff. And, you know, I've had some luck now. We've hit on some kids that are all-timers, really good players, workers, great teammates, and you know, feel very fortunate to be in the position that we're in.
We're talking to Mike Young. So, Mike, what about process? Like, you had such a great thing going on at Wofford, but the ACC, as we know, is a different animal altogether. So how did you approach the transition? For example, did you know that what you had done in the past would work and transfer well here, or did you have to modify your approach?
No, I thought it would, Jim. And I haven't changed. We're not doing anything different scheme-wise. I'm not treating people, you know, any differently. You know, I've been doing this for 35 years. The die has been cast. I'm not changing now. I'm going to treat people the right way. I'm going to care for these kids. I'm going to see that they graduate. And, you know, if that's good enough, it's good enough. It's not, you know, so be it.
And the fact is, Mike, a lot of this is how you came up, the way you were raised by your folks. Your father, Bob, passed away last March. It was clear how beloved he was by so many people as a principal, a teacher, and a coach. What were some of the most important things you learned from him growing up?
Don't forget where you came from. Humility is a very important word. Treat people the right way. Don't create work for others. I've got them written down right here, Jim. Hmm. I can recite them without looking at them. He was a great man. I miss him dearly.
I think that's great that you've got that written down, but you know them anyway. Mike Young is joining us. So, Mike, you've got Louisville on Wednesday. What is the biggest key for you as you get ready to face Chris Mack's team?
You better rebound the ball. They are tough. They go at it with five at times, and Chris's teams are always really sticky defensively, hard to score on. You go into Cameron Indoor Stadium, as they did on Saturday, and play a really good basketball game and win in there, you're doing something right. We've got our hands full. We're looking forward to it, though, I can tell you that.
Yeah, one last question. You're in the top 25. You've got wins over Villanova when they were number 3, Virginia when they were number 8. From the outside, it would seem, Mike, like you're running way ahead of schedule. Does it feel at all like that to you, or do you feel like you're exactly where you thought you might be?
No, Jim. Now, be where your feet are. It's March 1st. I've got Louisville on Wednesday. I know that we're going to Greensboro next week, and we are going to take it one step at a time and not get ahead of ourselves, and we're doing well, and I really enjoy my team, and I'll leave it at that.
Be where your feet are is always great advice. Virginia Tech, number 19 in the coaches poll. They're 9-4 on the season, 15-5 overall, and they are hosting Louisville on Wednesday. Mike Young is their head coach. Mike, great to have you back on the show. Thanks so much for your time and your thoughts today, and good luck to you.
Jim, I enjoy your work. You know that. I wish you well.
Same with you, Mike. Mutual respect. I enjoy your work. I wish you well. And you're doing an amazing job there. Know where your feet are. My thanks to Mike Young, head basketball coach at Virginia Tech. Number 19 in the coaches poll. My thanks to Jason Lockenfora. Corey Kispert also made it in. And you clones. Kind of laid out today. You kind of took it easy on a Monday, didn't you, clones? Fired up. Be ready to roll tomorrow. Thank you for listening. See you then. We're out.